Hi, I'm Eric Roberts, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Legendary actor Eric Roberts has appeared in hundreds of film and television projects throughout his decades-long career. Now he's telling the story behind it all in his touching memoir, Runaway Train, or The Story of My Life So Far, opening up about fame, family, and personal struggles along the way. He recently stopped by the Life Minute Studios with his wife of more than 30 years, actress Eliza Roberts, to tell us all about it. This is a Life Minute with Eric Roberts.
Woohoo! Eric Roberts in the house! Yay! In real life! The last time we spoke was 2022, 4 years ago. And since then, you've written a memoir, which is also an audiobook that I just finished that's absolutely beautifully done.
Oh, thank you so much.
Why did you feel now like it was just time to do it?
Well, I didn't start with just my childhood memories. I kind of got right into what I thought might be inspiring to other young actors, other young people who have questions about me. Because I'm asked the same thing every day all over the world, in like cars who pass me by on the internet, people that meet me. How do you do what you do? So I kind of explored that.
This is a book of scar tissue, the scars I can live with and the scars that I hide.
If it had been left up to me, though, quite honestly, I'd have written a book about my marriage and my wifey, because that's my life. Besides my work, I'm an actor and a husband. That's what I am. Having been married just shy of half my life, I think I've become a little bit of an expert on it, and I've got the wife to prove it.
You sure do.
But I also took the time to make references and talk about my experiences with my two most talented directors, Bob Fosse and Chris Nolan. I just had a great time writing the book, honestly, and my wife kept me honest. I would take her pages, and she sent me back to my room with corrections. And we did that for months. And I also had this great co-writer, Sam Kashner, who did the huge Vanity Fair thing on Obama. He was my co-writer after he and I met in doing an interview for Vanity Fair, and I fell in love with him. Whenever I read actors' books, it's always the same story with different words. It's always how they grew up and it was a struggle. And they accomplished this and accomplished that, and now they're happy. And now they have this, they have that, they have this. And it's kind of formulaic and kind of predictable and a little bit boring. So I tried my best to be somebody hanging out at your dinner table talking to you, as opposed to an announcement. You know, I was never going to write an autobiography. But then everybody on the streets asked me, when's your book coming out? Strangers. And then publishers started calling me from all over the world. When are you going to write this book? Because, you know, we want to publish it. So my wife comes to me one day, and my wife, who I do listen to, comes to me one day and says, you have to write a book. And I said, but I'm not a writer. She says, well, I'll help, but you have to write a book. And I said, but I don't really want to write a book. And she said, but you need to, because you have a unique story. Even though you think it's not, it is, because of what you've overcome and what you've survived and how you love what you do like almost nobody else does. She says, you have to write a book and you have to explain who you are, because you're confusing. So I did. I wrote a book. And I would go to her with pages, and you know, I'm an actor. I embellish. And she would send me back to my room, no, don't be doing that. So it was a long process. It was grueling. But I was so proud when I got through with it, because I got through with it. And I got through with it honestly.
And it wasn't like writing. Like you said, it was your storytelling. So you were just telling the story of your life.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to do.
That is what it was.
Yeah.
And you touched on abuse as a child. It was really tough to listen to.
I lived alone with my father for many years, and my father was temperamental. My father was angry. My father was dissatisfied. To watch a man in the prime of his life, in his mid-30s, sell vacuum cleaners is depressing for the observer and the observed. And so that was a sad time in my life. Everybody has their story. It's how you recover that makes you either valuable or not, you know.
Was it hard for you to detail all of this and go through it?
It was hard, but I had help from the wife, because when I would get emotional and get like, oh, I don't want to talk about that, my wife would calm me down and say, look, here's why you have to talk about it. And talk about how you talk with me about it, she said. Just do that. And I did that. When you go through your past, you have a little bit of shame, a lot of regret, and a little bit of embarrassment, you know, because I've been more than foolish many times in my youth, and can't even count how many times. It never bothered me at the time. And only in retrospect do I realize, oh my goodness, I was a train wreck for a bit there, wasn't I? Yep. And so you go through who and what you are and why. And you forgive yourself.
Good. I was going to say, was it healing for you?
It was.
Did you forgive yourself?
It was. And good. Yes, I did.
Good, yeah. Good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you so much.
I highly suggest the audio version because you can hear your voice in it and you're laughing and it's really lovely. Of course, I have to ask you about your older brother. Just kidding, your sisters. Your sisters, Julia
My
Roberts.
My unknown older brother.
And Lisa Roberts, too, who's also in the business.
We always leave Lisa out.
Who say they didn't have the same experience you did.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, they barely knew my father. I think he was only in their life for almost 10 years, and I was the oldest by a lot. Yeah. Even if you have the exact same environment, if you have several children, they all have a different relationship with the grown-ups. They all have a different relationship, and they're all treated differently, even though they think we treat them all the same. No, they don't. It's a different relationship with every child. So every child has a different experience. And all I can say on their behalf is they didn't have the same experience I had. I had a horrific experience. And apparently they didn't. I left home when they were both, you know, very small. I was not around to watch it. So I don't know. I have to believe them.
Did you learn anything through writing this?
Did I learn anything through writing this? I learned I'm not the person I would like to have thought I was, in that I'm not complete. In my later years now, I've grown out of dishonesty and find it to be an absolute pleasure. But I've also learned, as I grow older, honesty is also a weapon if you're not careful.
What do you want to say to people who've had similar struggles?
When your parents, or when a parent or both parents are oppressive, you start to think less of yourself. And so my advice is to hang in there and really believe in yourself. And, you know, that's a great thing in AA, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. I did. And I acted like I knew many things I had no concept of. But I just kept pretending I did up until I did. You have to fake it till you make it. Because if you don't, you'll get hurt a lot. So you need the false bravado a little bit. Walk into a room with confidence, even if you don't have it.
And of course, marry a wonderful woman. You lucked out.
It helps. And I also suggest to every man out there to marry a woman smarter than he is. It's a great advantage.
And you mentioned this in the book. When did you know you wanted to be an actor?
Well, I had a terrible stutter as a little boy. I couldn't talk to anybody. It was terribly embarrassing. And when I started school, it was really hard when you had to go around the room and read, because I would stutter, everybody'd laugh. It was horrible. But I discovered if I counted the people, counted the paragraphs, found my paragraph, and learned it, I could speak. I like told my father, and so he said, well, you should be an actor. You should try acting. And so I started going to class, and I learned to be an actor.
Amazing.
I'm so glad you read my book. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Listen to it, which is
better. It floors me when somebody says, oh, man, I read your book. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. It's so inspiring.
Oh, it's so good. It's heartbreaking and uplifting. And you go through anecdotes, too, not just about the trauma and what you've been through, but the anecdotes with celebs. You talk about all the people you've met. And it was really, really, really beautiful.
You make me so happy.
Oh, you make me happy. You're such a good person. It's so rare.
Thank you.
It's so rare in the world.
Except I have to interject this. I haven't always been a great guy. My wife, you know, reparented, refriended, re-educated, remothered, besides being a good kisser.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have such an easy life. So, and you're so young.
Everybody has their story. It's how you recover and when you recover that's of value.
So let's talk about his work. 700 something titles. Is it 750?
I lost count at 75.
That's 75?
Yeah, that's
it. You're missing a digit. My 20-year-old son wanted me to ask you about working on Dark Knight.
Well, it was a big-ass movie.
But it was good.
Yeah, it was a good big-ass movie. Well, we shot all the Chicago stuff in Chicago, and then all the other stuff, all the Gotham City stuff, we're supposed to shoot at Pinewood. Well, we've all been to Pinewood. Okay, we're going to Pinewood. But we get there, and we're not going to Pinewood. We're going 30 miles north to the old Zeppelin hangar. Okay. It's about 3 football fields wide and about 3 or 4 stories tall, and you walk in, and if you're a movie geek, which I am, you walk in and it's all Gotham City. It is so amazing. And me and Gary Oldman had so much fun. It was like a dollhouse. We just went around playing dolls all day.
On Heath Ledger, what was he like?
Heath was lovable, sweet, not at all what I'd heard. I had heard, oh, he's so into the part, you can't get near him. Okay. But he wasn't like that at all. He was like me. He was totally approachable, totally funny, totally sweet. In fact, he's got a 3-page monologue he has to deliver with all the bad guys are all on the same room, and he stabs this guy's hand with a pencil and all that stuff. Well, we all get there early in the morning. We're all in our street clothes, and we have a run-through. And he starts his monologue, and he gets about a page into it, and he stops, and he turns to us, and he goes, how am I doing?
Wow.
He's so likable. Aww. You're doing great, dude. And he was. And we lost him.
No, it's such a shame. What were some of your other favorite roles?
Well, I made a lot of movies.
You sure
so
did.
I got a lot of favorites. King of the Gypsies, Star 80, Runaway Train, It's My Party means so much to me. Love is a Gun means so much to me. Purgatory, my favorite Western. Me and Sam Shepard. He plays a marshal, I play the bad guy, he has to kill me. It's one of those, it's a lot of fun.
And what are you up to now? Frank Stallone, I saw you doing something with him.
I love Frank.
I like him too.
Frank is such a nice, likable, sincere human being.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. And I love his brother. I love Sly as a director. What a great leader. He's such a good director. So much fun to work for. One day, he's doing The Specialist. I'm in it with him, and I'm off one night. And I said to my wife, let's go watch him shoot like the fans. Let's go in there and watch him shoot. She goes, okay. So we sneak out with the big group, and we're watching. He's doing a scene outside with the Sharon Stone. And suddenly goes, cut. Eric. He knows I'm there. I don't know how. Eric, I'm thinking about it. You know, we don't have a scene together. I said, so write one. I'll write one tonight. We'll shoot it tomorrow. I thought he was showing off for the crowd, you know. Well, like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, cool. But he did. He writes a scene, and we shot it the next day, and it's in the movie, and it's in a scene where I put a knife in his eye. It's a really cool little badass scene. And then, years later, he sends me a script called Expendables. He writes the best bad guy monologues I've ever had. This guy is such a manipulator of psyches. He's so smart and so evil. It was such a good part. I love him as my leader. He was one of my favorite directors I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big compliment.
Yeah, he was something.
Wow, that's cool. You did Dancing with the Stars. Are you still dancing?
No, I was never a dancer. Can't you tell? I did that show for the wife. It's her favorite show. Well, a little back history. The first year of that show, I make a movie in China, and I get offered that show. Okay, my wife says, you're doing it. I said, I don't dance. She goes, you're doing it. Okay, great, I'm doing it. But they wouldn't let me out in China. It was only a 2-day overlay with the schedules, but they wouldn't let me go, and they ended up not using me anyway. So it was kind of theft. But then years later, they call me again. It's her favorite show, so I did it. I didn't do it well, but I did it.
Well, it's good that you tried. You've done music videos too.
My first music video I was offered was from The Killers. And they called me, offered me a video, and I said, thank you, no, I don't do videos. And then my kids and my wife tell me I'm an idiot. Call them back and say you want to do it. So I did, and they took me back and started a whole new career that all the 8-year-olds now see me at airports. Go, that's him, Mom.
Right.
They all know me. Uh-huh. It's so weird.
All the iconic actors do that.
Yeah.
Like your friend, Christopher Walken.
Walken, the man.
And I have to ask you about your stepson, Keaton Simons, who's a great musician, and he did the music in between the audiobook, too.
There's another darker side of me inside the lies.
He's got a song called Other Side that kind of describes myself. And he has a song also called The Medicine that also kind of describes myself. I used Other Side in the book because it was so apropos, and he's such a poet. Wait till you hear it.
Beautiful guitar playing, too. Oh, yeah.
Breaks my heart.
I love that story, too, about him, how he didn't believe that you really listened to his music, but you really did.
Up till I knew all the songs. Yeah, right.
You said in the book you didn't think you'd be a good father.
I wasn't raised by people who were stellar at their jobs at parenting, in my opinion. And so I wanted to be different, but I didn't really know how to be different, and I was kind of a reactive person, so that's not where you have to be around children. But I found a savior. Her name is Jan Hunt, and she wrote a book called The Natural Child. Everything you ever want to know about parenting, why and how, is in this book, and it gives all the reasons, and it's not opinions, it's what works and why it works. And it will make you a kinder, more giving, more loving, more patient person for the rest of your life, even if you don't have kids, because it just tells you how everything is, when you're small, everything is precious, everything matters, because it all has an impact for the first time. So everything is an explosion of understanding. So, and this book tells you how not to mess that up. And the website is naturalchild.org. Jan Hunt, you'll love her.
What do you do when you're not working?
Well, I have horses.
Never.
I'm on a horse and I'm not working. Or we have tons of animals. We have a squirrel sanctuary. We have cats, dogs. We have everything you think of. Everything but birds. And we have birds in the yard. I want to get birds, but we have cats. I've always had birds. And our cats are hunters. So we don't have birds.
Animals are really something, aren't they?
They change you because they only deal with you completely directly. So you learn the one-on-one with them. And it's a great feeling.
Yeah, unconditional love.
And yeah, especially dogs. That unconditional love a dog has is we should all take a lesson.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was your first and favorite movie?
The first movie I remember watching like as an event was actually Sound of Music. With my mother, she took me to see Sound of Music, and we sat up in the balcony. It's a big theater. And I remember being just, wow, blown away by this movie. But my favorite movie is probably Harold and Maude.
Oh, wow.
And also probably Being There. And they're done by the same director, oddly enough, many years apart, like maybe 50 years apart he did these movies. But they're my two favorite films, probably. And my favorite actor is my wife.
Aww.
No, it's not because she's my wife, because you know, I didn't have to marry an actor. But she's just mind-blowing. She's a real actor.
And you guys are acting together in a few movies, too. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah.
What's it like working together?
Wait, here's a funny story. So years ago, I'm offered a thing called Love is a Gun. I love the script. I want to do it. But it's being produced by an ex-boyfriend of my wife's. And so I say, I want to do this, but I want her to play my girlfriend in the movie. He says, no, I can't have that happen. I said, okay, well, call me when it can. Click. And he does. He calls me back. He goes, I thought about it. Okay, we'll cast her in the movie. So she plays my girlfriend in this movie called Love is a Gun. She steals the movie. She's great in it. And it's me, her, and Kelly Preston. And also, a sub note, John Travolta comes to set one day, and he has Jet as a little baby, and well, maybe two. Comes to set, and Eliza worked with his manager for many years. They taught business together. And he comes, he goes, oh, Eliza, I was offered another horrible, violent script, and I have Jet now. I can't do this kind of crap. She goes, oh, who's the director? Quentin Tarantino. But I can't do this kind of violent stuff. I have Jet.
And, of course, that movie is Pulp Fiction.
She goes, you have to do it. You have to do it. He's it right now. You have to be in his movie. You have to do it, John. And I was standing right there, listen to this. You have to do it. You have to do it. I'll give it a second thought. He leaves. He did the movie, thanks to my wife. I was there when it happened.
Wow.
She will argue with me and say, well, no, a lot of people said that, Eric, but it was her.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Gosh. What's something you'd want to do that you haven't done yet? Like, what's your dream role that you're going to
get? My dream role, I want to play Nureyev after he stopped dancing. Because years ago, they were going to make a movie about his life, and they called me for it. And I said, maybe, let me do a little homework, and then I'll get back to you. I did a lot of homework. I love the guy. And he was also gay at a time in Russia when, if you were gay, they killed you. So it wasn't cool to be gay. And so I wanted to play all that, all the whole thing, get it out there and expose him. So I did all this research, did all this homework on him, and then it didn't happen. But I had all this. And I heard these old recordings of him and the way he talked. He sounded like he smoked way too much. He did smoke. He smoked, he drank, he drugged, everything. Because I am Superman. Because that's what he was like. He was so cool.
God.
And he was this beautiful man, beautiful body, beautiful dancer, beautiful personality. And he could not be confined.
Did you ever meet him?
No. I'd love to have met him. Are you kidding? What a guy. Yeah.
That's amazing. Make that happen, Eliza.
Just to shake his hand. Wait, he's gone.
Oh, but make that role happen.
Yeah, wife. No, but that's my dream come true. That's what
so
I have
cool.
left to, bam.
Yeah. I know it's going to happen.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Thank you. You're so good to me. Thanks.
Your grandfather.
Yeah, I'm a grandfather. You. It's heaven on wheels. It is so much fun. The oldest, used to call me Eric, but now I'm Eric because she can talk. But it's just, it's heaven. And they're always at the house because they're across the street. I love being granddaddy.
That's awesome. What's your favorite comfort food?
Pizza.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Like you spit that one out quick.
Pizza.
How do you combat stress?
It depends on what decade you're talking about.
Now? I know how you did it before.
I have a very grown-up relationship with my wife. That I go to my wife and I say, I'm stressed. What about? Well, this and this and this. And we talk through it. She's my shrink.
What's your secret for success for all these years?
For marriage? It's very simple. It's just honesty, which is difficult. About everything? Difficult. And intimacy. As long as you keep it going. And I love chasing my wife.
I love it. What would your current self say to your younger self?
Just be sweet to everybody. It doesn't matter. Make an effort with everybody. For just a second. It doesn't take time. You just have to be sweet to everybody. And it's fun. And it makes everybody else be sweet to you. What's to lose?
Tell us about your current roles. What's new?
Well, my new favorite movie is called Hippo. I narrate it. My wife stars in it. My wife is phenomenal in this movie. My wife is one of the better actors I've ever met, let alone married. And she's such a good actor. Oh, my God. And I think that's half my attraction to my wife is her talent. Because she's this monster actor. But she's this sweet, passive, kind, considerate, quiet person. So you don't see it coming. But you'll see it in Hippo. She's phenomenal.
Oh, what's it about?
Coming of age story. But it's a coming of age story dragging it over the rocks. It's rough. In fact, the most gentle thing about it is my narration. In fact, my wife is over here. Can I bring her?
Yeah.
Hey, wife, come here. Hey, wife.
Yay.
We've traveled the world together, and we're always on vacation.
It's
we
so
have
awesome.
So much fun.
It's so rare and so beautiful.
We're never on vacation, but that's
no, we're never on vacation.
Location, but that's for us.
Yeah.
Totally.
In fact, my vacations have become when I come home. That's why I'm on vacation. I have the animals, I have the wife, I have the grandchildren. Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, it's awesome. What other projects are you guys working on?
Okay, so in addition to Hippo, we did a movie called Man's Best, and it has a dog, so we all love a movie with a dog. And we actually play husband and wife. Right?
So unusual.
We play husband and wife. But it's a really, and it was shot here in New York, it's a really meaningful story about how a family is affected with the loss of of, you know, one of its members, and how the recovery can make you a little crazy, and you can get your sanity back from a dog, from an animal, because they're pure love, as Eric said. It's a really good showcase for a lot of, for the writer-director who stars in it. There's a lot of emotion to it. It's a very emotional journey.
And how do we see these films? How do we find them?
Man's Best is currently on Film Freeway because it's just starting its festival tour. So pretty soon there'll be something, or very soon there'll be something to see. You know, things find a home these days. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
There's one called Love in Storytown, and that is about to come out. And that's, you know, a Hallmark special. And it's really cute because Eric and I do a lot of Hallmark. And Beyond the Rush, where he plays a very corrupt and kind of almost evil, but he has his reasons.
Very corrupt judge.
Judge. And I play the lawyer who's trying to basically put him in jail.
She's trying to right my wrongs.
But Mina Suvari is in it, and Kathy Moriarty. And
Kathy Moriarty's wonderful.
Frankie,
oh my God!
On. It's, you know, it's like, forget us. It's a great cast. So should I duck out now so you guys can finish?
I love you. See you in a minute.
I love you too.
I never believed in marriage. I thought it was a stupid institution on the face of the earth. How can you do that to two people for their lives? How can you do that to somebody?
Really?
But it's, I highly recommend marriage. Oh. Yeah. You are so lovely. Thank you.
You are. You're such a beautiful person.
Oh, thank you.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.